Matthew chapter 18, 1 through 6. Here's what the Bible says. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. And let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight, for each one that's here. Thank you for the fellowship that we enjoy in this place and the love we feel from you. And I pray tonight that, Holy Spirit, you would speak to each one of us, that you would convict us in areas of our life where we need to be convicted, and rebuke us and strengthen us and encourage us. Whatever we need tonight, Holy Spirit, just give it to us as we look into your word. I pray if there is somebody here tonight that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, tonight would be the night they decide to receive him, make him theirs. Thank you for everything that you've given us, for what you did last night and all the fun that we had, for the service this morning, for everybody that was here. And I pray that you'd meet with us one more time today, tonight, speak to our hearts and do in our heart what you know needs to be done. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As I mentioned this morning, this message started off in a different direction than how it ended up. I wanted to spend it. When I first started, I thought I'd spend tonight in a message that would encourage all of us to be a help to children. To spend our strength and our might and our efforts to point little children to Jesus, and to point them to the Bible, and to point them to Christ's church, and to make sure that we didn't do what these verses talked about, where it says, "Don't offend one of the little ones," because if you offend one of the little ones, and that word means. That word offends means just about the same meaning that we use it in our language today to get them upset, to be like a detour between them and God, between them and the Bible, between them and the church. What Jesus says, it's if you're going to do that, if you're going to offend a child, if you're going to keep a child away from God, away from Jesus, away from the Bible, away from the church, what Jesus said, it'd be better if you took a millstone, which was a stone they used to grind grain, a pretty big stone, and tie it around your neck, go out to the deepest part of the ocean, or deepest part of the sea, and just jump in. And what Jesus is saying, if you just get right down to the bottom line, what he's saying is, if you're going to offend children, you'd be better off dead. I mean, there's no other way to say it. If you're going to keep children away from me, if you're going to keep children away from the Bible, if you're going to keep children away from the church, you'd be better off just being dead. Because, you saw the context in which he said this, the disciples asked him, well, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus took a little child and put him down in the middle. He said, when you humble yourself and become one of these little children, that's the one that's greatest in heaven. Well, and then as I got to studying as I was preparing my message, I realized that this is one of those times where you'd be preaching to the choir, because I don't believe there's anybody here that would on purpose offend a little child. As I know your hearts, I think I can say about every single person that's here tonight and most people in our church, if not all people in our church, man, we'd give our lives for children. I mean, if it took actually giving our lives to point children to God and to point children to Jesus and to point children to the Bible, I mean, that's what we do. We take every dollar we get out in the bank and if we could get a child to Christ, because it would be worth it. Well, I mean, what profit if you gain the whole world and lose a soul? And the soul of one little child is more important than any material thing that you could offer up in trade. And so I said, I thought, as the Lord led me in this message, said, well, you don't really need to deliver that message because you got everybody knows that. And then I got to thinking, and then this is how the message took a different direction. I got to thinking that every single person in God's sight is a little one. Doesn't matter if you're 80 years old or if you're 50 years old or if you're 51 years old. Doesn't matter how old you are. In God's sight, you're a little one. We're all His children. I mean, the Bible paints that picture. He's our Father, and we are His kids. We are His children. And I got to thinking, I wonder if that verse is true there, too. I wonder if that verse, I wonder if what Jesus is saying is, we'd be better off dead than offending one of our brothers or sisters in Christ. We'd be better off tying a millstone around our neck and jumping into the deepest part of the sea than we would offending a fellow Christian. I mean, he says right here, whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me. So he's talking about Christians in this verse. And I got to thinking, well, maybe Jesus is talking more just about children. He's talking about how we treat each other, adults, how we need to be careful not to offend anybody, not to be a stumbling block. And that's the title of my message tonight, Stumbling Blocks. Not to be a stumbling block to any other Christian. Not to get in their way between them and God, or between them and the Bible, between them and Jesus, between them and the Holy Spirit, between them in church. And I think the message is just as true, is just as right. I mean, it's true for little children, but I think it's true for every single person. I think we have a responsibility as a Christian to make sure that we don't offend others. And I got thinking, well, that'd make a pretty good message. But then God said, no, I want you to turn it one more notch and take a little bit different direction. And that's where I ended up tonight. Because you see, I think the offendee also has some responsibility. When I say the offendee, I'm talking about the person who might get offended. I think we, as Christians, have some responsibilities to make sure, or to do what we can in our lives so as we're not offended so easily. And so that's tonight, that's what I'm going to preach on. In fact, I'm going to give you 6 points tonight that I think we ought to do as Christians to guard ourselves from being offended. Now, again, let me just hasten to say, I think we need to be careful not to offend. I mean, there's lots of verses in the Bible that teach that. There's a verse in Ephesians that says, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as Christ has forgiven you. There's a verse in Proverbs that says, as much as in you is, live peaceably with all men. When Paul talks about it in the New Testament, he says, hey, I don't think there's anything wrong with eating meat offered to idols, but if it's going to offend somebody, I'm not going to do it. Because I don't want to be a stumbling block for them. And so it's important for us not to offend others, but it's also important for us to get our life in a position so that we're not so easily offended. And so tonight I'll give you 6 points about things that we all can do to avoid the stumbling blocks, to avoid being so easily offended. Number one, you ought to expect it. You ought to expect that people are going to offend you. You ought to expect that there's going to be stumbling blocks in your path as you walk the Christian walk. They're just going to be there. Say, oh, well, Brother Darrell, I expect God to clear out the path. Well, he's not going to do that. I mean, he's going to, as you try to walk the Christian walk, as you try to stay on that straight and narrow way, God's going to allow Satan, and by the way, he's the one that puts the stumbling blocks there. Satan wants you to fall. He wants you to get discouraged. He wants you to trip up and fail in your Christian life, and God lets him come into our lives and put stumbling blocks in front of us to test us. Now, one of the ways that you can avoid a stumbling block is keep your eyes open and expect them to be there. Just expect. I mean, two and two is four, there's going to be people that come into your life that offend you. They're going to say something unkind. They're going to do something unkind, and you're going to get hurt, and you're going to get discouraged. Just expect it and keep your eye out for it. And here's what happens. I mean, you're walking along, This is what a stumbling block is. You're walking along, and maybe you're preoccupied with something. You got your mind on something else, and so you're not watching where you're going. And this is what a stumbling block is. It's anything that's in your path, any person, any event, anything that happens in your life that gets you off course for God. So you're walking along, you're preoccupied, you're thinking about something else, and you run into this stumbling block. I'm going to get hurt if I'm not careful. You run into this stumbling block, and it gets you off course. Maybe you're carrying a load, and it's a load that has your attention that you're carrying. Maybe it's a burden of some kind that's already in your life, and you're not watching out, and you hit the stumbling block and stumble. I mean, maybe it's because of something that's happened in your life where you're already in a weakened condition. You're already faint. You're already tired. And you're not watching where you're going. You're not expecting it to come. It's going to come. So keep your eyes open and expect it to come so you don't fall. Be on the lookout for it. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and perished." A prudent man looks out for it. You know, I've never understood, and I know some of you are fighting this habit and some of you have quit and all this, but I've never understood people that smoked. I mean, I haven't looked at a package of cigarettes, but the last time I looked at it, I think it said something like this: "This product will cause cancer." Does it still say that? Still, "This product will cause cancer." Now, if you ignore that warning and go ahead and smoke, you're going to pay the price. You say, "Well, am I for sure going to catch cancer?" No, I can't promise you that. I don't know that. But you got a likelihood of doing it. If you read it and avoid it, then your chances of not getting it are better. And that's what that verse means, the prudent man. So if you're a prudent man, you're going to know, a prudent person, not just a man, but a prudent person, you're going to know that there's going to be stumbling blocks that come along. Be on the lookout for them. Watch out for them. Know that they're going to come across your path, and if you're on the lookout for them, you'll be more likely to avoid them than you are if you're not on the lookout for them. So expect them. Number two, walk in the light. Walk in the light. In the book of, you run across a stumbling block. If you don't see it, you're liable to trip across it. But if you, how many of you ever stubbed your toe in the dark? Okay. You know how that feels? Because you were in the dark and you couldn't see what you ran up against? That's what I'm talking about. If you got the lights on, you're not so apt to stub your toe. You're not so apt to stumble. So walk in the light. What's the light? Jesus is the light, but the Word of God. In Psalm 119, 105, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And so what the Bible promises us, if we stay in the Word of God and we let it shine brightly, it'll lighten our path and help us avoid the stumbling blocks. Psalm 119, 165, from that same psalm, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Now let me just park right here just for a second. Here's what the Bible promises us. "Great peace have they which love thy law," talking about the Bible, "and nothing shall offend them." Nothing shall offend them. So here's my advice tonight, how you can avoid being offended. Stay in the Bible. Read the Bible. Study the Bible. Meditate in the Bible. Memorize the Bible. The more that you stay in the Bible, the more you'll love it. Amen? I guarantee you, the more time you spend in this book, the more time you'll want to spend in this book. And so you spend time in this book, you get to the point in your life where you can't do without it. You get to the point in your life where you look forward to reading it every day, multiple times a day. You get to the point in your life where you love this book more than anything else. And the Bible says, nothing shall offend you. And let me just be real direct tonight. If you're being offended, I would tell you you're not spending enough time in the Bible. Say, "Oh, that's not very kind. I'm not trying to be kind tonight. I'm just preaching." If you're being offended, you're not spending enough time in this book. So get in the book. Walk in the light. Stay in the Bible. Learn to love it. And nothing shall offend you. Number three, let people be human. Let them be human. In 1 Peter chapter 1, the Bible says, verse 24 and 25, "For all flesh is as grass, And all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Don't put your eyes on people. What this verse says is we're like grass. We may flower for a while, but sooner or later we're going to wither. Sooner or later we're going to do something, because we are human beings. And we need to take our eyes off of each other, and we need to put them on the Word of God, which faileth not, which endureth forever. All men, listen, every single person at one time or another will fail, will fall, because, and will all stumble. And if we keep our eyes on men, I mean, they're going to cause us to stumble. So let's keep our eyes on God. I mean, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Paul says, you can follow me, but don't keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on the one that I'm following. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Now, God puts leaders in our life. He puts people in our life that he wants us to follow as leaders. And he magnifies them. You remember when Joshua was taken over from Moses? And in fact, in Joshua chapter 3, here's what the Bible says. "And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you." God said to Joshua, "I'm going to magnify you in the sight of the people. I want them to know that just like I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you, so that they'll follow you, so that they'll follow your instructions, so that they'll, you know, when you say to go, they'll go, because I'm with you. And so I'm going to magnify you in the sight of the people." But let me ask you something. When you take a magnifying glass and you magnify an object with that magnifying glass, let me ask you this. Does that object get bigger? Huh? Does the object actually get bigger? No. It just looks bigger. And so, if a leader is magnified by God so that we'll follow him, understand that he's still just a person. He or she is still just flesh. And they're going to fail. And they're going to fall. And they're going to say things that hurt us, and they're going to say things that offend us. Now, does that mean we shouldn't love them and shouldn't follow them? No. But we ought to let them be human. We ought to let them be human. Number four, we need to differentiate between people and God. And here's what I mean by that. So-and-so hurt me, so I'm going to quit. So-and-so offended me, so I'm going to quit. So-and-so hurt my feelings, so I'm going to quit. Now let me ask you some questions. Did so-and-so save you? No. Is so-and-so the one that you're laboring for? No. Is so-and-so the one that you give your life and your time to do what you're doing for God? No. You're doing it for God. And yet, I can't tell you how many times I've heard that said. Hey, so-and-so hurt me, so I'm quitting. And I want to say, well, did God hurt you? Did God offend you? Why are you getting mad at God for? So-and-so is the one that hurt you. So-and-so is the ones that offended you. Why are you getting mad at God? Why are you quitting on God? God never did anything but good for any of us. So don't quit on God. I mean, we're so dumb. We're just dumb. We get mad at somebody and we take it out on God. I want to tell you tonight, God's not the right person to get mad at. And God's not the right person to quit on. God's never done anything for us but good. Say, oh, why did he let all this trouble come into my life? Because it's for your good. And he knows it. So don't quit on God. Let people be human. And here, let me just say this. If you're hurt, That's not the time to make a decision. Your decision maker is broken. If you've been offended, your decision maker is broken. Wait till you get over it before you make a decision. Don't do it in the middle of being hurt, because it'll be impulsive and it'll probably be wrong. So wait till you get over it and then make a decision. Number five, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Here's what I mean. Don't get bitter. Don't get cynical. Don't get suspicious of everybody and everything. Don't get judgmental. How many times have we heard, boy, if that's what Christianity is all about, I don't want any part of it. And it's because we haven't guarded our hearts. And we've got offended, and we've gotten bitter, and we've gotten judgmental, and we've gotten cynical. So don't. Hey, it's important for us not to offend others, but it's also important for us not to be so easily offended. Number six, don't quit. I think we ought to all just decide right now, regardless of what happens, I am not going to quit. The standing order, my understanding, never been in the Army, but the standing order in the Army is you keep following the last order until you get a new one. Huh? Is that right, you guys that have been there? You keep following the last order until you get a new one. Now, if you're doing anything for God, hopefully you're doing it because He told you to do it. So that's your standing order. So until you get another one, just keep doing that one. Until you get another order, until you get another assignment, until you get another thing to do from God, just keep doing the last one. Don't quit. Just keep going on. Corinthians. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now we think of that, well, that's temptation to sin. That's a trial. Well, you know when somebody offends you, that's a trial. That's a temptation to sin. And God promises, hey, I'll never put anything in your life that's more than you can handle. And I'll give you a way to escape. I'll give you a way to bear it. So we shouldn't be stumbling blocks. We should do our best to be kind. We should do our best to live peaceably with all men. We should do our best to point people to God and not serve as a detour. But I think we also have a responsibility to guard ourselves so that we're not so easily offended. You that are married, you'll identify with what I'm talking about. There have been times in my marriage where Debbie and I have been on the outs with each other over some little tiff or tough that we've had. And in those times, you have to walk around like you're on eggshells. Because you know, if you do one more thing wrong, you're going to be sleeping out on the back porch. And so you're very careful as to what you say and what you do. Because you don't want to mess up anymore. I'm talking from a man's perspective now, ladies, so you got to understand this, okay? So you don't want to mess up anymore. Now, that's not a very pleasant way to live, where you're always walking on eggshells, worried about if you're going to say the wrong thing or worried that you're going to do the wrong thing. It's not a very comfortable place to live. And I will tell you, it's not a very good environment in a church or in any relationship where you have to walk around on eggshells because you don't want to offend somebody. Now, again, we ought to be careful to be kind and not be offensive. But we also ought to toughen ourselves up a little bit as Christians and grow up and stay in this book so that when offenses come, they just sort of bounce off. And we say, because we've stayed in this book, well, they didn't really mean that. Or they weren't really trying to hurt me. There must be something going on in their life that, you know, has got them thinking like that. Say, oh, well, Brother Darrell, if they do it over and over again, it doesn't matter if they do it over and over again. If you stay in this book, I believe the promises in this book. And I believe if you stay in this book and learn to love this book, that verse from Psalm 119 is true. Nothing shall offend you. And it's a great place to get to in your life when you can, when people can look at you and say, hey, there's a Christian. He doesn't get, or she doesn't get offended. Great place. And we can get there. We ought to try to get there by staying in this book. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this simple lesson from your word. I wasn't preaching at any specific thing tonight. I was just preaching the truth. And I pray, Father, we take it for that and we put it into our hearts and into our lives and we get to the point where we wouldn't, not only wouldn't we be an offense, but we wouldn't be offended. And I pray that you'd help us to get there. Father, I pray tonight if there is somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, I pray you'd help them see their sin and help them see the price for that sin and what Jesus paid for it on Calvary. And I pray tonight that whoever that, if there's just one here tonight that's not sure that they're on their way to heaven, but before they leave this place, they would come and know for sure, like the Bible says that we can know for sure that they're on their way to heaven. And then for all the Christians that are here, again, Holy Spirit, you speak to us. Whatever we need tonight, please give it to us. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.